This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good morning. It is a Thursday, Throwback Thursday today. We'll have that for you throughout the program. Major League Baseball yesterday hit Joe Kelly with an 8-game suspension. So yesterday when we closed the show, I said, look, thank God for Joe Kelly. Thank God, not because I was on his side and trying to hit Alex Bregman or trying to taunt Carlos Correa or trying to do the thing that people were wondering who, you know, how many teams are going to take offense to the Astros sign stealing scandal and take it upon themselves to get some retribution. No, what I wanted to say to was that with baseball's Marlins situation and its COVID-19 outbreak and rescheduling games and canceling games, and now the schedule probably won't be balanced, and sort of a reminder that when we do this thing like return to sports, this virus is just creeping right around the corner, threatening to shut it down. Joe Kelly allowed us to have a conversation about a baseball matter within the sport that had nothing to do with anything in the outside world, had nothing to do with what was going on with the virus, shutdowns, or any other sort of political angle to what we have been experiencing for the last 4 months. Joe Kelly provided a sports story. Now, here's the great thing about it. You can be angry at Joe Kelly. You can support Joe Kelly. You can think it's absolutely justified that he got 8 games. You can think it's an outrage because the Astros players went unpunished after the investigation. It doesn't matter, but we can all at least feel some relief that one of the stories coming out of baseball was something within the sport. It was a controversy within the sport rather than should we play, should we not play, the virus is deadly and everybody needs to shut it down. We're going to have those conversations all throughout this restart of sports. But that's why I think Joe Kelly provided us a favor, because we can now take a side, we can debate like we've always done in the past. All right, coming up, though, what does this suspension mean in terms of a 60-game schedule? I got the numbers for you next on a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call.
Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is Throwback Thursday on 1975 as we go back. Now, this was an interesting one because you and I had a number of different choices for this.
Yes.
But on this date, I thought this was a great one. Jimmy Hoffa disappeared.
And is it sports related?
It's sports related in a sense. He disappeared on this date in 1975. Leaving his home in Michigan, stopping at a restaurant, and then after that, that was it.
Nobody
it
was knows.
The Red Fox restaurant. They don't have any idea what happened to him after that. Could be in the Meadowlands, could be, who knows?
But I don't know. I was reading
on
up
this
on that.
State, 1975.
I guess apparently Mythbusters debunked Hoffa being in the Meadowlands.
Good. I'm glad, because I never really bought that.
Yeah, they. I guess they. I don't know what they did, Mac. I don't know if you like did sonar, and sonared the stadium and couldn't find anybody
for remains.
Yeah, and then I guess when they demolished the Meadowlands, the report was they didn't find any remains. But I'm like, that's just a cover up.
I never bought that either, because if you're going to kill somebody in Michigan, why do you boogie him all the way to New York to get rid of the body? You just try to get rid of the body as quickly as possible.
As a symbol,
the longer you transport it. or the longer you keep it, you're leaving trace evidence all the way through. I'm not trying to give a lesson on how to get rid of a body here, but it just doesn't make any sense. While smart criminals, they may not be the smartest ones, would take it across the country to get rid of it.
So what you're saying is that there could be a blood splatter somewhere in a rest stop in Pennsylvania.
You don't need to mess around with this. Did you ever watch the movie Hoffa with Jack Nicholson?
A long time ago.
I mean, really a long time ago. It was like early 90s. Danny DeVito is in it. Danny DeVito's character in that movie is like a composite of a number of people that were in his life that were confidants of his. He wasn't like a real person. It was like, well, we know this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's just create one character that's like everybody.
Now, I will say this as well, and it's, maybe a bad quarantine thing on my part. I have still yet to see The Irishman.
Oh, it's because it's too long, man. I think that's the reason why.
It's three plus hours. Yeah. I mean, there was an article out there that told me how to watch it where it was like, each episode was about 45 minutes to an hour long.
That's not a bad way
to
do
it. And it was like, end it right here at this scene. And then you can pick up and it'll feel like a three-part series.
Yeah, I watched it when it came out. Like, I was really excited and I was like, I'm going to watch this thing. And I settled in. And it's... I love Scorsese movies, but this was too long. And to me, and this is just me, I didn't find it rewatchable. It wasn't like Casino or Goodfellas where when it's on, I just throw it on because I like it.
Yeah.
And I like a lot of different scenes. I never went back to it. I never said, boy, let me rewatch a movie. What could I watch here? Like, I've seen Into the Spider-Verse like six times. right? But that one, I just... It didn't make me go, yeah, let me watch it again. It's slow. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's good. But it wasn't rewatchable good. But it's got a whole thing in there on Hoffa as well, played by Al Pacino.
Yeah.
But Jack Nicholson's movie, Hoffa, was their theory was that he was meeting some mob guys at a rest stop, waited around all day. There was a Frank Whaley plays this driver that's hanging around at the place, waiting for a part. He's waiting for a part. He's waiting for a part. He uses the phone. And finally, Danny DeVito says, you're a Teamster. Let's go see Jimmy Hoffa. Bring him some coffee. And Frank Whaley shoots him. And they shoot Danny DeVito, they take the car, and they move on, and they disappear. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Everybody's got their theory, but nobody knows. But
I would say this.
He disappeared.
He's probably dead now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dead. I mean, regardless.
Oh, could he have lived in the mountains of Tibet or something?
You don't know. I mean, maybe he was just posted up in the hills of West Virginia.
Maybe so, and nobody got a hold of him.
Nobody knew where he was.
It's part of one of the great mysteries of organized crime. What happened to Jimmy Hoffa?
Yep.
This date in 1975. All right, so Joe Kelly, 8-game suspension.
Hero.
Yes, hero, the hero we need, right? 8 games. So I did the math, and I said, okay, well, it's a 60-game schedule. What does 8 games mean? So if you look at it, every game, if you were to say the level of importance of every game in a 60-game schedule compares to how many during a 162 season, comes out to about 2.7. And so that means that 8 games is around a 21-game suspension for this.
Seems a bit extreme.
A little extreme, right? But I guess if you're Rob Manfred, look, you can't have sort of vigilante justice all season long. You've got to start not nipping this in the bud. You got to start saying, look, we did our investigation. This is what we found. But I can understand there's a frustration here because none of the Astros got penalized for this. They didn't get suspended.
Right.
Nobody got, lost their job nobody. I mean, AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow took the sword for this scandal, but no player took any sort of punishment whatsoever.
I mean, honestly, Joe Kelly would have been better off cheating.
Right. Exactly. Then cooperating with the investigation,
exactly.
Which leads you to getting complete immunity. Right. I wish it worked that simple. What happened to Mr. Hoffa, Mr. Mafia guy? Well, I'll tell you, just make sure I don't go to prison. I did all of this, right? I mean, it's unfortunately that's the way it works sometimes, but that's the way it worked in Major League Baseball's investigation. They knew there was a scandal here. They needed to get to the bottom of this scandal. They knew the players didn't have to say anything because it wasn't criminal. They didn't have to subpoena them. And so they said, well, we'll have to make a deal with the players. You can talk. No, we'll give you immunity. We just need to find out exactly what happened. So Joe Kelly goes out there and he takes one for Major League Baseball, for the rest of Major League Baseball, who said, wait, they actually just did this, and then they just told on themselves, and then it's supposed to just go away? We're supposed to not talk about it anymore? We're supposed to pretend it didn't happen? Well, no, it did happen, and I'm going to take some retribution. But buzzing in a guy's head at 97 miles an hour is probably not the best way to go about it. But who knows? But 21 games is what it comes out to be if you were to just map it out to a regular season is 21 games. That's a lot of games, man. Can you imagine if that was the penalty during like a full season? If he were to miss a month of baseball because of that, and then he's a reliever, he could have played every day.
Yeah, that's why. I do think, I know he appealed his suspension. Dave Roberts did. Dave Roberts like, I'll just serve it tomorrow.
Right.
Or last night. It's just like, yeah. I'll just get it out of the way.
Don't get into nonsense.
You know, I know Joe Kelly appealed it. It'll probably get knocked down a little bit.
I think, given the shortness of the season, let's knock it down to four.
Yeah, but I think it's also because
a 10-game suspension.
Everybody was outraged. I mean, except Astro fan. Astro fan was like, 8 games, you should have suspended him for the season.
Yeah, he should have been out forever.
But the rest of the 29 clubs out there, their fan base, everyone was like, God, 8 games for, you know, a pitch that got, I'm still going to say a pitch that got away from him.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I thought that was a bit extreme. And I think what it did largely, in a larger part, was send a message for last night's game.
In terms of the,
No retaliation, please.
Yeah, no retaliation, right.
No, let's just get out there, just play baseball, you know, leave it all on the field type of scenario. Let's not go head hunting. Let's not, you know, I don't know, make faces. I hope it wasn't because he made a face. That would
if that's
petty.
Part of this, that's petty. That you should be able to say and do whatever you
right.
want to any place.
We're
you
all
be
grown men out
talk.
There.
Exactly. If you're a professional, you take the trash talking. If Rob Manfred added a game or two because of the taunting, that's baloney. That is absolute garbage.
I'm hoping
that's
it's
part
not
of
that.
The deal.
But if it's not, then 8 games for buzzing someone's head—that's excess. Or you know,
in
let's
a
put
60
it,
game schedule. It's yeah, a lot.
Let's put it like perspective. Like you said, 21, 22 game suspension for buzzing someone's head—that's extreme.
It's extreme. Yeah. It's extreme.
Can't knock our hero down like that. We needed him yesterday.
We definitely did. And listen, Manfred privately probably said thank God for this. Because he did. When the national media is screaming at you to do something about coronavirus, and you're like, I'm figuring it out. Please leave me alone. We're trying to keep the season going here. And all of a sudden, there's this shift in the conversation to the Astros scandal / retaliation, Joe Kelly. It's a baseball thing. He's probably like, good. They're talking about baseball stuff rather than this virus.
Right.
How it's killing my season.
It was like what we said yesterday. If that incident never happened, we're opening the show. We're spending all morning talking about how the Marlins messed up.
Right.
And how
right.
the Marlins are suspended. They can't. Their first game they can play is not going to be until next Tuesday.
Right, exactly. And what is baseball going to do? What if it happens again?
Yeah.
What if we play? What if teams get 45 games in instead of? I mean, all sorts of questions.
Let's be honest. That was a nice break from that narrative.
No kidding.
God, we've been beating that narrative to death.
So now, and again, like I said at the top of the hour, you don't even have to, like, I can thank Joe Kelly and still think he's, like, if I'm an Astros fan, I can thank Joe Kelly and still think he's a jerk because it's still a conversation I'm having, right? I'm still having a baseball issue conversation. I can disagree with Kelly. I can think he was over the line, but at least I'm in that kind of conversation rather than all the conversation about this virus.
Yep.
You can also think Joe Kelly was the hero like we are and be in that camp too. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you are on. At least you're in that kind of debate and conversation, which is what we've been kind of wanting for a long period of time, right? We've been wanting baseball to do something other than, look, there's been two major issues in Major League Baseball in 4 months, right? The stupid argument back and forth about how much players were going to get paid and how many games they were going to play and not being able to come to an agreement until the last minute, and two, what they were going to do with this virus, what kind of safety precautions were they, what happens if the virus infects this team or that team or this team. Those are conversations you don't want to have. You want to have Joe Kelly, right or wrong, Astros, they deserve this sort of retribution. Reminding people we had this scandal. Reminding people that the Astros were a wanted team coming into this season, going into spring training last March. I mean, again, like we talked about yesterday, the prop bets on how many times Alex Bregman was going to get hit this season. Right. All of that is a baseball issue that you want baseball to have, and Kelly provided it. And that's why I'm glad he did it. And again, argue the merits of the suspension, but at least it's something else that baseball can hang its hat on. That's what's going to happen with the NBA. That's what you hope happens with the NBA in this bubble, where there might be a controversial call tonight, right? It might be something might happen in one of these games this weekend that make you go, let's talk about basketball instead of what basketball is trying to avoid.
Or what we're hoping for the next, month and a half, is that we have an NCAA March Madness feel to the NBA.
Sure.
Because it's going to feel that way, because you're going to have, three, four games every single night?
Yep, that's
going
what's
on.
Happen,
and yeah. I still want them to all play on one court at one time. Come make that happen,
yeah,
please.
Exactly. All right, coming up next, we will get into the NBA and the bubble as they start the games tonight. Don't like to do a where were you when, but let's remind ourselves where we were and where we are today as the NBA restarts. That's next on Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, Brothers Gibbs, Bee Gees, 1975, this date, Jimmy Hoffa disappeared in Michigan. We don't know what happened to him, but on this date he disappeared.
We know what happened to him.
Well, we know he's dead, but we don't know what happened
to him.
We
know now he's dead.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so the NBA has been playing some scrimmage games, and they've been on TV, and if you've been watching them, you know what it's going to look like when they get going tonight. There'll be two games on the schedule. The Pelicans face the Jazz, and then the Lakers make the Clippers. It is the return of basketball. It is the return of the NBA. They were the sport 4 months ago that really shut this whole thing down, because Rudy Gobert in Oklahoma City contracted the coronavirus, and bam, that game got canceled. A couple of other games that night went on as scheduled, and then they canceled another game, and before you know it, the whole league shut down. Now, listen, where were you then kind of thing? I mean, look, we all, remember, what we've been doing during quarantine and how long it feels. I remember that night. I remember my wife found this beautiful bedroom set from a person that was moving and needed to sell it. And we rented a truck to go get it. And we went to the house. And I remember this because it was the early part of the virus, where we weren't really sure exactly what was going down and we weren't really in pandemic mode. But I remember the guy met us in the driveway and was like, hey, just want to make sure. Does anybody got a fever or anything like that? And we're all like, no. We took the furniture in the truck, we went home, we put it in the house, etc. But I remember getting a notification on my phone that the NBA had postponed the game between the Jazz and the Thunder. And again, because of the virus, but we didn't know exactly what that meant. We didn't know what was happening, right? Do we just take Rudy Gobert out of the equation? Do we keep playing? But then really quickly, it was like, we're done. We're done, we're shutting down, and we don't know what's going to happen next. And then the dominoes started falling, and man, did they fall quickly. It was, the NHL chipped in, right? Then all of a sudden, Major League Baseball spring training, the NCAA conference tournaments were going down one by one. The Ivy League was first, right out of the gate. And then the NCAA basketball tournament, which was hanging on by a thread. I mean, it was still, we might be able to get this in. We might play in front of nobody in these neutral sites in the middle of nowhere. But then that got just canceled as well. And then spring sports got canceled. And next thing you know, we don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going to take place. Tonight's the night that I've been waiting for. Baseball, congratulations on getting started. But the league that really started this, the league that really put this in the sports world, is coming back. And coming back in a way that a lot of people criticized at the very beginning. They wouldn't be able to pull this off. It's too much. It's too much to ask these guys. You know, that still might be true. We don't know. We don't know what these players are going to feel like in early September, you know, 2 months into this thing, or even middle of August, a month and a half into this thing. I mean, they've been there since the early part of July. We don't know. We don't know if cabin fever is going to kick in, bubble fever is going to kick in. We don't know. But it's at least going to start, and we're going to see it come to fruition. It's coming back. The regular season, these eight games, to sort of get us into a chase for the playoff mode. Also for teams to sort of remind you where they were. You know, 4 months is not a long time, but good Lord, it's felt like a lifetime ago. Look, that same furniture that I just talked about that we, you know, bought off a guy that was moving here in Tennessee, I feel like I've had that furniture in my bedroom for years. Years. It's already got some nicks on it and I feel like I've had it forever. But I've only had it for 4 months. There's never been a longer 4 month period in my life than what we went through from March until now. I've never experienced 4 months that felt like this long. And that includes being a kid where every day feels like a million years.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they tell you, oh, Christmas is only 4 months away. And you're like, what?
Oh,
I might as well be 100 4 months.
It really does feel like it's been 20 years.
It has. It really has. And it, you know, I mean, look, it's weird. If that night occurred, right? And when that night occurred and the NBA canceled games and they said, hey, look, we have a crystal ball. We can look in the future. And we're going to tell you about 4 months from now, we're going to restart this thing and actually complete the season and the playoffs. Like, oh, 4 months. I can do 4 months standing on my head. I did not do 4 months standing on my head.
No.
Those last months. I was pulling my hair out.
You walked around. I mean, there was no place you can go. You just
started reading books. I mean,
building a vacation map out of your house.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do.
Right? Now, I will say this. I think the NBA missed a golden opportunity.
For?
I think the first game out of the gate should have been Jazz Thunder.
I do, too. I know those two teams are playing on Saturday, but they should have made that game the highlight of the game.
Yeah.
I don't think you needed the marquee Zion.
No,
I don't think you needed any of that stuff. You make it that game. People are going to tune in anyway. People are going to be curious anyway. You make it that game because that's the game that set this whole thing in motion. That's the game that made us go, oh, boy, what's happening? What's happening? And when it all – I mean, it just – how quickly did that fall apart? I mean, it fell apart quickly. So much so that Rudy Gobert could go down in the history books as the guy that kind of –
Well, at the time he was, but isn't it funny now that we kind of like look back on it going, yeah, okay. You know, Rudy, I mean, if it was just Rudy, Rudy canceled sports, because that's kind of the feeling we had was that it was him that canceled sports.
It was within, what, a 10-day period, everything was gone.
It feels like it was within 2-3 days.
Well, the NCAA basketball tournament took a while.
Yeah, it did.
They
dragged their feet a little bit.
Because remember, the SEC, like the SEC tournament in Nashville, had players on the court a few days later. They stayed with they were one of the last ones to pull the plug.
Yeah.
That was a Wednesday night. It was going into the week, almost Friday. Friday, they were still debating whether they should play.
That's when they were doing the whole, hey, we'll have the games, but there's not going to be any fans.
Right.
And we were like, you can't, that's weird. You can't do that. Now we're just excited. Like, we didn't need fans all along. We're just glad we have sports back.
And then they said, well, okay, let's discuss the NCAA basketball tournament. And then they finally pulled the plug on that. So it was a good chunk of time. It was a short amount of time. It wasn't maybe 5 or 6 days before they canceled everything. But it all really started that Wednesday night. And because here's the other thing. Nobody knew what they wanted to do right away. They weren't really sure, like, what we should do, right? I mean, it's one thing to say, we're going to cancel, but cancel is different than postpone, right? Postpone is we'll play this later. Cancel is you're never going to see this again. Like, this game doesn't count anymore. Like, we're not doing this again. So I think a lot of people were thinking, well, this is just postponed until they figure it out. And then we were wondering, is it ever going to come back? Like, or are we just going to cancel this season and then just start again next fall? I'm glad these leagues decided to try to figure it out. I'm glad these leagues decided to find a place to do it and find a way to do it. I'll be curious tonight when these games go down. I mean, I'm looking for the intensity of a restart, not a scrimmage, a restart. That's what you're getting. Coming out, Notre Dame and the ACC. Is it a marriage made in heaven? Next on Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver. And nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain.
There's been a load of compromise. I'm just listening to the sounds of Glen Campbell, Rhinestone Cowboy, 1975 on a Throwback Thursday. We're doing 1975 because on this date, Jimmy Hoffa disappeared in Michigan.
Here
listen
it comes.
To Glen Campbell sing. Like a rhinestone cowboy. Great is that, the late Glen Campbell. He was one of the best guitarists in the world.
Mispronounced lyrics right here. Everyone doesn't know these, what he's saying right there.
That's true.
Goes, rhinestone.
He was very, very good friends with Alice Cooper. They used to play golf together. And after he died, Alice Cooper was doing a number of interviews about his friendship with Glen Campbell. He said that some of the best rock guitarists in the world would seek out Glen Campbell for lessons because he was one of the best guitarists on the planet. 1975, Jimmy
Hoffa
seems
like an urban legend. Forget Hoffa being buried in Meadowlands.
Yeah.
People seeking out Glen Campbell for rock?
For rock, for playing guitar. You should YouTube him playing the William Tell Overture on the guitar. It's unbelievable.
All right, I'll do it right now.
It burns like burns the strings. So Jimmy Hoffa disappearing on this date, 1975. Sometimes we do Throwback Thursday in sports. Sometimes we do Throwback Thursday in just general.
And then we have Hoffa, who's a hybrid.
And then we have Hoffa, who's a mixture of both.
Because, you know, there's a reason why it was called Coffin Corner.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Anyway, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish have kind of semi-joined the ACC this year for football because everybody was canceling on them, and everyone was like, nah, we're just playing within our own conference, so
poor
bye.
Notre Dame.
And Notre Dame was like, well, we'd like to play a football season, but nobody really wants to play us because everyone's staying within their own conference. And the ACC said, come on board, and they said, okay, fine. So now people are like rubbing their hands together and going, "Ooh, let's Notre Dame should join the ACC."
Do you think
that sounds good?
Do you think their first choice though was Big Ten?
That would be my choice.
That would make all the sense in the world. I mean, I'm just curious how many times they've turned the Big Ten down.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm sure a lot because
back in the 70s.
Everybody wants a piece of the Notre Dame popularity within their conference.
That's money.
Right? I mean, look, this is football. Like, their football team, everything else plays within the conference. I mean, everybody else, every other sport in Notre Dame is part of the conference. Like, the basketball team is in the ACC, the swimming and all of that stuff. Football, because of its gigantic nature, has decided to be independent. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them whatsoever. One, they always seem to get the benefit of the doubt when they play well, right? When they beat up teams on their schedule, they seem to get the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, people want them in the playoff, or the people want, you know, the committee wants to put them on top of the college football world. And why, if you've ever seen the Notre Dame traveling roadshow around the country, if you've ever gone to a Notre Dame game when they're not in South Bend, you can understand why they want to keep everything to themselves. They're a very popular team. They are a very popular team that has got fan bases and fan groups around the globe. Why would you want to give Virginia a piece of that pie? Why would you want to give Georgia Tech any action of what you're doing? I remember when they came to Air Force, they built a tent in the parking lot to sell Notre Dame gear, and it was packed. I mean, packed. I mean, they do that everywhere they go. There are Notre Dame clubs everywhere. So again, why should they cut in Florida State, Boston College, North Carolina on the football side of things? Right? Look, I get basketball, right? They're not Duke, they're not UNC, they're not, you know, they're not Louisville, right? They're not Virginia, but on the football side, they're one of the more popular programs in the world. But again, the way they're in, you can negotiate anything, right? Anything. And if you're Notre Dame, you might want to just join the ACC under a couple of caveats that say, look, we'll join your conference for football. You can get us and our fan base and whatnot. But look, we have a deal with NBC, and we need to keep that deal with NBC. We can't, we're not giving you guys any piece of that. And so whatever that, however that negotiates and anything else we want to do for football, but you're not getting our NBC money. We don't need you. We have ourselves. We negotiated that on our own. It's a great relationship for both of us. We make a lot of money. They make a lot of money. And we don't need NC State coming in with its handout wanting a little piece of this television deal. But at the same time, when you have this circumstance, right, where people are emphasizing your conference and where you are playing and trying to get games outside of the conference, you know, Notre Dame doesn't have a hard time getting games, but they have a hard time getting really good games, right? They have that rivalry with USC. They do play Michigan, Michigan State sometimes, right? They do play, you know, they've got some games that are on, but a lot of times they don't play. They still play Stanford, but a lot of times their schedule isn't filled up with some familiarity and toughness on a year-out and year-out basis.
You don't see them playing Alabama or right. Florida or right. Ohio State. I mean, you don't see them playing these the big-time schools that we know year in and year out.
And there is enough, I mean, seriously, there's enough bottom feeders in the ACC to feast on if you were to just join that conference permanently. That's fine. But again, listen, I think Notre Dame should be, their football should be in a conference. I think it's hard. I mean, look, but I also understand the circumstances of why they're not. If I was running Notre Dame football, if I was the athletic director and I was looking at my football team, there is absolutely, I'm not really missing anything when it comes to having to join a conference, right? Think about this, the Big East, which was one of my, you know, my favorite college basketball conference when I was a kid, right? I watched Big East Monday. I actually loved Syracuse. That was my team. I know my brother rooted for Georgetown. I mean, we watched Lou Carnesecca, Raleigh Massimino, Jim Boeheim, John Thompson. I mean, you know, Jim Calhoun. I mean, we watched all of the Big East players from Pearl Washington to Patrick Ewing all the way right through the 80s. My favorite conference. Why has it disappeared? Why is it gone? Why the Big East is still around, but why have those teams, why don't they play in the same conference anymore? Well, Syracuse needed to be in a football conference. Football drives everything. Football is the moneymaker. And so the Big East right now is not the same because the schools that are playing in the Big East now don't have football. If you have football, you need to be in a big conference. But Notre Dame has all of the elements that sort of make it so they don't ever need a partner. They don't need a conference. Here are the reasons why they're not in a conference and why they don't have to do it. One, they already have national respectability. You can argue the merits of how good Notre Dame is. Lord knows we've done it. When they get to the playoff and they lay an egg, you go, why were they even here to begin with? But they don't suffer from what have you done for me lately or what have you proven during the season. They're Notre Dame, and somehow that mystique, that pixie dust is on top of that committee. And anytime they're rolling through undefeated, regardless of who they're playing, that pixie dust works. They get near the top of the polls. Everybody's buzzing about them as one of the top teams in the country. They get the national media on their side. I don't know why, because I've never really met a neutral fan of Notre Dame. Every fan I know is somebody that's connected, like they either root for the school, they went to the school, or somebody they know went to the school. I've never met a guy that's in the SEC, covering the SEC, for example, that's enamored with Notre Dame, and yet that pixie dust works. Two, again, NBC went to them, and they've got their own television deal, their own network. It's a network. It's not Notre Dame television or anything else. It's NBC. For crying out loud, that carries their games. They don't need help from anybody. They don't need to improve their schedule for it to work. It works because they've got a huge alumni base that's wealthy enough that watches their games from coast to coast and around the world. So they don't need that. So when you have those two elements where you're making money on your own, you don't need a ACC Network, SEC Network, Big Ten Network money from your own from a conference TV deal. You don't need that. You don't need to be in a conference in order to get respect. Win your games, you get the respect automatically. There's absolutely no reason to be involved in a conference at all. So I understand it from the athletic director's side. I understand why the swimming team does and the basketball team does and whatever other sports Notre Dame has. I understand that part of it. But football and its pile of Scrooge McDuck cash, they don't need to be participating in any conference. But I do think that they should. I don't like the way, I mean, BYU did the same thing. They feel like, you know, given their fan base, given the Mormon church and whatnot, that they can go on their own. They can put together their own schedule. They can put together their own network. They don't need help from anybody else. So I understand the business side of it. I just don't like the independent aspect of it, because I think you are better served by being in a conference championship and playing that conference championship game, because there's going to be some years where Notre Dame is going to be good, but there is going to be a loss on their schedule that's questionable, that makes people doubt them. You could overcome that easier in a conference than you're in when you're an independent, right? When you're done and everybody else is playing that one extra game, it is very hard. It's hard to sort of kick it back up again. Right, that conference championship is a big deal. Notre Dame going unbeaten is always going to be in the playoff. That's one loss is probably going to be good enough. But what if that one loss was a really bad loss, but they win the ACC outright? It can make up for some sins during your season. But maybe the athletic department has looked at it and said, well, we don't need this. I in the end, it's about money, right? In the end, it's about can you negotiate the right deal to make sure you keep all of your cash and everybody else doesn't get a piece of the pie you've deservedly earned? But if you do negotiate that deal, how much does resentment kick in? How much do you become an unwelcome addition to a party that's been going on without you? I mean, when Notre Dame football shows up to a conference and joins it and they're not sharing the pie, you'll notice the pie as athletic directors. Every athletic director in the ACC will really notice the pie if it's not being shared. They know about it. They can see it from afar. They've heard about it. They know its impact. But when it's directly affecting your conference, you can go, wait a minute, hold on. You're playing us, and you're making all of this money on this television deal with NBC. But you're playing us, and we're part of it too. So hand it over. And they go, no, we're not handing it over. Are you kidding? That's not how this works. We're Notre Dame, for crying out loud. But they are playing this year because, again, nobody wanted to play them, so they're going to be playing some ACC teams this upcoming season, if we have a season in college football. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. It's 1975 on a Throwback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Hey, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1975, do the hustle. Yeah, Jimmy Hoffa disappeared on this date in Michigan. I was trying to make a connection between this song and Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance, but I can't. So what happened to Jimmy Hoffa? The mystery that has yet to be solved. Is that surprising that a guy like that could disappear?
Not at all.
Here we are in 2020.
Actually, I think it's better.
We have no idea. 45 years later, we have no idea what happened to him.
Oh, we know. Somebody knows.
No, stop with that for a second. What happened to him?
Like, it's in the president's book. They know.
Well, all right. Never mind. Like, isn't it amazing?
I find it unreal that even now, like, we couldn't go back and figure it out.
I can't imagine
being too many interviews, but somebody passed a story along, right?
Right.
Like on a deathbed, somebody must have said something that would lead a clue to this place, to that place.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. It's been 45 years and we don't know. Like, we can't, like, it's amazing. It's just amazing with technology that somebody could disappear and we have no idea.
Or is it a situation where maybe we don't want to know?
Oh, no, we want to know.
No, but there's the mystery, the aura of Jimmy Hoffa is, it almost seems better not knowing.
Well, as personal, I mean, as an investigation, you've got to figure out what happened to him. You can't just go, yeah, man, no, we're in charge of this. We don't know.
I mean, is it a cold case? Like, is no one, like, this, if is day one on the FBI beat, you know, it's like, here, stack of.
No, it's a cold case. Yeah. I mean, if they get an information, they would investigate it. If they had reliable intel that they knew where his body was buried, they'd go find it. Yeah, you ever watch? Are you watching? There's a thing, Cold Case Files on Netflix. They're fascinating. They're fascinating. Like some teenage girl is killed in the woods, and it years and years go by, and nobody knows what happened. And then finally, somebody goes, "Hey, you know what? That purse may have DNA on it." And they send it to a lab 35 years later, and they find out who has the DNA on the last thing that. The last piece of evidence that she touched.
And it's that part too, where I'm surprised somebody just didn't stumble across them.
That's what I'm saying, right? That's what I mean. 45 years and not one. All of these. It's funny. Like people will say, "Oh, he's buried in the Meadowlands." They go to the Meadowlands, nothing. They say, "Well, he's buried in this driveway." They go to the driveway, nothing. He was killed in this house, and the blood stains aren't his, right? Like there's all of these leads, and they every time he gets to a lead, it goes absolutely nowhere.
Maybe he was abducted by aliens.
Right. Mark on Twitter, I may have misunderstood you, but Notre Dame is sharing their NBC money this year with the ACC. Yes, but what I was saying earlier was Notre Dame joining a conference, like if they were to join the ACC permanently, they would not want to be in a position to share it permanently.
No.
That's what I meant by it. I apologize if I misconstrued the deal. The deal this year, yes, but if you are looking permanently to land a conference, why would they share their NBC money with anybody? Right? Why would they share their money the way other networks work? Like the SEC gives an equal piece to everybody. Why would Notre Dame go, "Hey, we got this NBC money, share it. Let's everybody gets a piece of this pie." So I'm talking about years and years and years and every single year down the road. But very good point, Mark. I'm sorry if I was misunderstood there.